What happens when you put together an incredible MC and an equally incredible producer in the same studio? Well, you get a new album called Mona Lisa. Who is this album by? Well, my next two guests, Joel Ortiz and Apollo Brown. Welcome to Library with Tim Einingo.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us, man.
Absolutely.
So, of course, I'm sure you guys got to ask this. When did the name Mona Lisa come to you for a name of an album? I mean, is it like, were you done with the album and bam, or was it the first thing that kind of...
It was kind of like, I say a quarter through the album was something that I was like, yo, we need to call this album Mona Lisa. I knew what the album was going to be. Just kind of by putting together the sound, I knew how it was going to sound. I knew it was going to be incredible. I knew it was going to be a masterpiece. And
this guy, high praise.
I'm saying, like, yo, I knew what it was going to be, man. You got to be cocky in this type of shit because I'm not cocky in anything else. So, you know, it's a masterpiece, man. It was something we put together. We put together with time, and we put together with the right amount of strokes. Pause. And it came together like something that I think would be important and stand the test of time in hip hop and music, period.
So the first track, Brush Strokes, is that, what was that created first? Or was that created last?
That was actually created last. That was the last track that, that I put together.
See how Tim sniffed that out, though?
Yeah.
He kind of like knew, like, yeah, that came a little later.
Yeah. Definitely came later.
So my understanding with Mona Lisa is that it was created in Detroit.
Yeah, well, the process was Apollo would send me a few beats. I'd zone out to him, I'd write, and then he did that maybe two or three more times until I had the entire album written, and then I flew to Detroit and recorded it.
Oh, so you were writing back at
home. I was writing at home, and then I recorded it all in Detroit.
There's always the feel of wherever you are. I mean, when you got to Detroit, was there any thought of like, oh, this is a different vibe, that maybe we change here or there? Or because Apollo's doing a totally... I feel like a totally Detroit sound, right?
Yeah.
And then you're doing a Brooklyn sound as well. Is there any, I guess, are you conceding anything?
No, I mean, there was a couple of joints we did that week on the spot. You know what I'm saying? There was a couple of joints that we...
You're right.
You know, we saved kind of like until we got together and seen how everything was cooking. Yeah. What was the other joint? Was it Grace of God?
No.
Mona Lisa?
It might have been Mona Lisa.
I can't remember, man. It was a couple joints that we did on the spot to kind of just throw a wrench in the plans, man, and just make each other uncomfortable a little bit. But I wouldn't consider it a Detroit sound, though.
Right.
You know, it's definitely not. That's one thing that kind of how I stand apart from a lot of Detroit producers is I don't have a Detroit sound. You know, I have more of an East Coast sound.
Right.
That's my influences, you know, the DJ Premieres, the Pete Rocks, you know, that's more of my influence right there growing up in life and just listening to music. So, I don't really think I have a Detroit sound, but I mean, I just think music period, man. I think it's just a beautiful sound, man, whatever it is.
Prior to going into the album, were you, I guess, what were you listening to kind of get you in that zone? And also what were you listening to kind of get you in the zone?
I mean, me personally, I don't listen to music when I'm creating music. Just because I don't want anything to seep into my subconscious and influence where I'm going with my thoughts. So I call it like a dry spell, like nope, no music. I mean, if I'm in the car, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Something's on, I get it. But like, just as far as me like going to the gym and putting on somebody's album and zoning out, like I lose that just for a little while I create, so I can just find my own bag.
No, absolutely. If I'm creating an album, I don't have time to listen to other people's music or anything else. I'm usually listening to stuff I'm creating over and over and over and over again until it sounds right to me. So whether it's a mix, whether it's a master, whether it's the beats that I send him or beats that I just made for the project before I send them to him to make sure that they're right. I don't really have time to listen to other music. And if I do, it's definitely not hip hop. You know, it's usually some R&B or some old soul or, you know, some 80s alternative or something like that.
The track Reflections is for you as a look back at your career. So two questions is why now? Why use this moment to kind of look back at what you've done so far? And then two, as a producer, how do you complement that?
I guess I'm in a different space as a human. You know what I mean? And feel like I'm officially a vet.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was holding on to, like, yo, I'm a young OG for a little while. It's like, I think I've reached that veteran moment now. Where it's just like, you know, you're not done. You just, right. You're mature, you're wise. Like, you know, like LeBron, to, you know, so to say, where he can turn up when he needs to turn up, but why when he can do other things and, you know, figure out how to win the game
right.
with less, what's the word I'm looking for? Without straining, you know what I mean? I put the pieces together. You should do that. Let me talk to the young dude. Let me do this or whatever. And then you look back at, you know, where you're at, and you're just like, wow, I came a long way, man. This is something to celebrate.
You heard that right. He just likened himself to LeBron James.
No, to a veteran. To a veteran. I mean, you know.
Headline.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just that moment where I just kind of, like, had that look in the mirror moment and was like, look at you, man. Still out here doing what you're doing, man. This is good, man.
It's awesome. Yeah. And for you, I mean, how do you complement that? And how, as a producer, how do you do that? How do you look back at your career just through, like, your hands, speaking with your hands?
I mean, man, for me, it's just making music with feeling. Like what I brought out of him with the music is that's me. That's kind of like me speaking to him and having a dialogue, man, through the music. I mean, other way, obviously, I don't really speak with my voice too often, but just giving people music that they can relate to, music that they can, you know, that takes them places, that they can forget something to, remember something to, you know what I'm saying? Like, music that kind of, they can close their eyes and think about their lives and think about where they're going, you know, stuff like that, so...
I want to ask you about some lyrics and reflections, and I'm totally going to fuck them up, so I apologize in advance.
Oh, shit. Damn
but
it.
But this thought, this was made me, I was biking, listening, and I had to pull over because lyrics from Bodega Chronicles popped up in my
head. Okay, wow.
So in reflections, you spit, I tell that waiter, wait no more. I got to watch my figure. Can't put on weight no more. Why? Because if I truly want a shot at the top, I got to drop. That's what I said. That's what I say. I guess I jog before I jot. And then in 125 part two, from the Brick Bodega Chronicles, you spit, it's kind of heavy. He's kind of heavy. He's going to be hard to market. Plus, he's Latin. Is that
he's going to target.
So I'm big. So I'm big. So it's big pun.
And you know, like I know that you know that they both did them.
Right. So I was just wondering, there's two weight references here, complete opposite weight references.
Right.
That in a weird way, you know, the 125 is kind of I don't give a fuck attitude. I'm going to do what I do.
Right.
This one feels like it's less, it's more of, quote unquote, maybe conceding to the fact that you need to lose weight. I mean, what is that? Are they related at all?
No. You pointed it out, so I guess they are related. Because, you know, sometimes when the pen gets moving, you know, you think everything is new, but it's also coming from a sponsoring thought that might have came, you know, years before. Before I answer that, though, I think it's kind of ill that you tied that together from my first album on 125 part two, and you pulled over on your bike on 125th.
Right.
That's so fire.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo, that's crazy. I didn't even catch that. I didn't even catch that.
That's so cool, yo. But yeah, I guess on that, I was kind of
spot too. Sorry, huh? The spot where on the Art of Rap with Ice-T.
What
the same spot that he interviews Immortal Technique at? That's where I pulled over.
Who is also on my first album? Yeah. That's so crazy. But I guess on this one, I was kind of like throwing a jab at those people from that first album that made me feel like, damn, I gotta lose weight.
Right.
You know, it was kind of that moment where it's just like, I guess I'll jog before I jot. Like, you know, like, I know that's probably still looming in the air, right, guys? Like, you know, like, but look at all the things that I've accomplished and where I've met and how something so to me shallow.
Mm-hmm.
Kept me from getting record deals early and, you know.
No relation.
Yeah,
none.
Yeah.
Like, has nothing to do with the skill.
Nothing.
None.
Nothing, bro. Like, I remember being so disappointed as a young kid just coming out of meetings where they were just like, I mean, he's a bit heavy. You know, what are we going to talk about? Who's he going to, you know, he's Puerto Rican. This is a rough sell. And nobody didn't like the music, though. Like, the music right. wasn't the issue. And I'm just like, you know, I got to keep pushing through this. You know, you heard it in my voice back then. Like, I was, that was a moment like, really? All right, middle finger to all of you. I'm going. And now I look back as a veteran and somebody who had has had what I'd like to call a successful career for me, my family, my friends, and my fans. And I'm like, yo, dog, I stuck it out. Nah, I didn't get MVP and 55 points a game and all that, whatever. But like, yo, like, nah, if you needed that extra rebound real quick, I snuck in. When things started getting a little too pretty, I stayed on them. Right. Like, yo, nah, this is what I stand for. I don't shift it. And I had a nice career and a nice run, and I'm still here, and I'm happy, and I'm proud, and I'm, you know, very in the moment, you know, and that's why you get records like that.
How do you not, in general, how do you not get deterred from, I know, following this path? I mean, you obviously have, you both are obviously gifted to no end.
Thank you.
But how do you hear that shit and you're like, how do you not be like, oh, maybe they're right. Like, this is my career. This is going to put food on my plate. But if they're not going to willing to market me, then why am I doing this?
I mean, some of us do get discouraged. You know what I'm saying? Some of us do get deterred. You can't let that, like there was time where I was like, every week I wanted to quit this. Mm. I wanted to stop, man. I'm like, what am I doing, man? Like, it's frustrating. You know, certain things behind the scenes will frustrate you and make you want to just like, all right, man, I'm good, man. I'm not even. But you kind of snap out of it. You see comments. You see certain things when people say, yo, your music changed my life. Your music helped me go through this. My pops died and this happened and your music did this. You know, you see that stuff and you're like, yo, that's crazy that my music, you know, will make people, you know, feel. Absolutely. Yeah. They feel something. Like, it's crazy. It's not the turn up. It's not, you know, jumping around, whatever. It's the feeling that comes from it, man. And that's what drives you. That's what makes you say, you know what, man, snap out of this, man. I'm about to continue it, on and, it actually, and keep doing it.
It actually starts becoming inspiring. Like, you know,
absolutely.
Like
that's yeah.
You start using it as fuel. Like, all right, bet. Say no more. Yeah. I'll remember that. Bring that beat back up. All right, let me write some pain.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I thank you. Actually, thank you for all those that was just like making it rough for us on the come up. And still to this day, you'll see a comment like, oh, man, you know, it's just like, yep, you too. Still at it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The track My Block, obviously, okay, this whole album's great, but another great track, My Block, of course, you know, I automatically think of My Block by Scarface when you see the title. Was there any influence in that track or even the writing, the title, the creation of the title? Or if not, can you just kind of talk more about how that track came together?
I mean, there wasn't any influence from Scarface, on my part when I was writing.
No, not at all.
I don't think it was influenced.
No, it's completely different, even sound.
Oh, yeah,
but,
totally.
I mean, Scarface is one of the goats, but...
Facts.
I think I titled it My Block just from listening to the song as a blank with no title. And it's just like, yo, this is... That's what he's talking about. He's talking about my block.